Access number 30640, Mr. Len Abbott, Reel 3. Now, we're talking about when you were doing your basic training with the Queen's Regiment to Guildford Barracks.
That's right.
From January 52, 6 weeks probably, I presume.
Yes, it was for 6 weeks,
so
yeah.
To February, roughly.
Yeah.
Roughly speaking.
Yeah.
What about haircut? I don't know how long your hair was there, but some people had quite long hair by 1952.
We did. We had Bostons. And we had DA, which when they all went back there and made an A at the back of your head, all end colouring. Well, the first day was beautiful, but the next morning we got up, we was thrown out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then it started. Haircuts, this, that and the other, medical, and we had to go through the whole procedure again, but the haircut... He used to stand at the back of me and he used to say, "Abbott, am I hurting you at all?" I'll say, "No, Sergeant." He said, "Well, I should do. I'm standing on your bloody hair." And he kept on this to all the time. And at the end, I got so cheesed off, I went straight in. I said to the barber, "All off." He said, "You can't." I said, "I can. All off." And he just stood there and he went like that and he just took it straight off. And I was bald. And that's the only way you could beat him. Because what he used to say to you, underneath the hat is yours, anything outside is mine. And that's what they used to say, and they meant it and all. But I'd never left me alone. He used to say to me all the time he used to come out. And the thing I'd never done when I was in the army, when I first went in, was shaved. I never shaved at all. And of course, I used to leave.
You didn't have to.
I was going to say I didn't have to. And of course, I used to leave it, till at the end, he turned around and he said, one day, he said, "You haven't had a shave this morning." So I didn't say that. And he said, "I'm asking you a question." I said, "No." He said, "Right, you're on Jengith." And he put me on Jengith. And I'm not kidding you, there was nothing there. It was only, you know, like bum fluff. That's all it was. Nothing else. And yet they made you shave. But again, I got over it.
Now, what was your room like? Were you in? Was it a hut camp or was it an old barrack block?
It was an old barrack block. You know, the blocks.
Now, what was your barrack room like? I mean, I know it's a long time ago, but if you can sort of describe it for us.
Well, you'd have 16 beds either side. You'd have two big pots in the middle, in the fire pots.
Stoves.
One halfway up and one thingy. Plenty of scratches on the floor. And they used to go through it like that.
Plenty of what on the floor?
Scratches. Because when you realise, when you finished, you're going to go on to your regiment or whatever regiment you used to stand there and used to run. And you used to scratch. Can you imagine your boots? Scraping all along the... Because that's what he used to do. And he used to say, "Right, I'll leave it for the next lot." And that's what they used to... But anyway...
How did you clean your barrack room? I mean,
Toothbrush, add nothing to it. We all used to stand... We used to start from the beginning, and everybody used to move their beds up, and then we used to have to clean that part of the floor.
What with? Bumper. Is it a bumper?
Oh, you're joking, are you? We were the only bumpers there. No, they had cloths that made you lay on the ground and do all things like that. And we used to polish away hours upon hours. But don't forget, while you're doing that, you still got to do your own kit as well.
I'll come back to that. Let's look at a typical day, because that gets a lot of things that spin off it. So what time, you know, when you're doing your 6 week training, what time would your training start?
Well, first of all, you go and have your breakfast, which was roughly about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Nothing before that?
No.
So what would you do? What was the we'll look at all the food together. What did you think of army food at Guildford?
Truth? I didn't mind it. There were some times that you would create, you'd say this wasn't cooked properly or that was, but within reason, it wasn't bad at all. Because I'm one of these that believe that when, even when I go to hospitals now, people say, oh, what a bloody horrible meal. But I don't worry about that. Because as far as I'm concerned, they've laid it on and it's at a reasonable meal. So that's what
is
I...
Enough of it?
Pardon?
Enough of it? Enough, you know, to eat, or were you hungry?
I would say yes. Yeah, there was enough.
So you have it. So after breakfast?
After breakfast, you go back to your back room. 9 o'clock would be on parade. Now you're going to ask me how you used to make your bed.
Yeah, go on then.
And do everything like that. Well, you didn't.
You did that later.
No, you didn't. You didn't even sleep in your bed. That's one thing we learned very early. What you did, you made your bed and you got the corporal to come along and to make sure that everything was in place. And some of us never even used our mess cans, never used knives and forks, never used them at all. Just left them on the bed. And you used to have a 2-inch for your sheets, and you used to have a 3-inch for your blankets. And they used to have to be all coordinated, and your pillow had to be pure white. How you can have a pure white pillow, I don't know, but I mean, it was there. It was there in. So what we used to do, we used to sleep on the floor. And believe it or not, it was warm enough on the floor for you to be able to not worry about you. Now, for 6 weeks, I laid on the floor. So that was about the uncomfortable thing I ever can remember in the army.
Now, so after breakfast, you had this parade.
Yeah.
Tell me about drill generally. What did you think of drill? And how did they teach you? And how good were you at it? Because some people can do it, some people can't.
They used to repeat it over and over and over again. So automatically, some of the stuff you got and some you didn't get. Those that you didn't get, everybody else seemed to get, if you know what I mean. It's always the way, isn't it? Like you just said, some people can adapt to something and other people can't adapt to it. So within reason, let's put it this way. They learnt us the proper drill and we were pretty good on passing out. So we must have been good learning all the way through.
What did you think of drill? Did you like it? Some people like it. Did you like it? Or?
It was there to be done. I mean, don't forget, that's one of your disciplines. I mean, that was a discipline in life. You had to do it, whether you liked it or whether you didn't. So really, within reason, I found the, the rifle very hard to start off with.
What, on drill? You mean
on drill,
to handle it?
On drill to handle it, yeah. I found that very, very hard. I don't know why, but
you
didn't
drop it, did you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got told off for that many a time, yeah. In fact, I got put on Jenkins for that. That I found very, very hard. But other than that, it wasn't too bad at all.
Did you understand the point of it at the time? You know, why you had to do so much drilling?
I understood one thing. And when you look back, it makes you wonder why they never brought it, never kept it going. And that is, don't forget, we used to have to polish coal.
I'll come to that. I'm thinking about drill, the point of drill.
Oh. The point of drill was all exactly the same. If you look at what you used to have to do, keep the floor clean, drill, and do all that kind of thing, and keep yourself smart, and do everything like that, that was discipline. That's the way I looked at it, that I had to be told what to do.
And you didn't react against it?
Not till I got to Canterbury.
So after, so you had drill.
Yeah.
What other things were you learning in basic training?
And then you would, then what they would do, they would take you on a march.
A route march.
A route march.
Now, what was a route march like?
Well, you'd have to get your, all your gear together, and again, they used to make you wear your boots. So it would, number one, it would make up, make your boots dirty, so you'd have to clean them when you come back. But mainly, you'd put your BD on and everything like that, and then they would make you full pack, and then they would take you for a march. If you like, you'd go to... you go for a couple of miles around and then come all the way back again. By this time, it was about 4 o'clock, and you used to then used to break off, get all your, start getting all your kit ready for the next day.
So it's route marches. Now, what about PT generally?
Oh, PT, you'd have that first thing in the morning.
Now, what was PT like? What sort of PT were you doing?
Normal exercising. Like up and down, and
arms up, arms down.
Down.
That's what you just did.
Yeah. And you'd lay on the floor, bring your knees in the air, and things like that. They'd send you for a little run, then you jump over a couple of obstacles, things like this. And if it piddled down of rain, then they used to take you indoors, which was worse indoors than it was outside. Because you could get away with a lot outside, which you couldn't do in. Because indoors, they used to put you, used to have to use all the dumbbells up the wall, hang from them and lift your legs up and do all that, you know. I mean, that was a killer some to them.
Do you think it made you fitter, or were you fit already?
No, it made me fitter, definitely did. Oh, yes, definitely made me fitter, yeah.
Now, what about weapons training? I mean, simple weapons. I mean, it's basic training, so... I mean, did they start on the rifle?
Yes, yeah, they started us on the rifle.
Now, how do they teach you? I mean, you've done a bit at Army.
Yeah.
But tell us about the rifle training.
Well, what they did with you in the rifle, they took you in a room, and you'd take your own rifle with you, and then you'd put it on this bench or a sort of a table, and then they would say, right, you've got to take it to pieces. Then you'd take it to pieces as much as you could, and then it would be the cleaning. That was the main thing. Again, that was discipline again. When you fire your rifle, you've got to clean it properly.
How'd you clean it? We'll do that first. How do you get a Lee Enfield you've just fired clean for inspection?
Well, what we used to do, we used to I can't remember the name of it now, but you had a long thing, like a long rope, and you'd put it down, you'd put a leaded weight down.
That's ball two, I think.
Yeah, well, you put it down, and then you'd put a sort of a gauze on the end, and you keep pulling it through, putting it down, pull it through. And then when you think it's all clean, all nice and clean, then you would get this, a duster or something like that to pull it through, and then it would be clean. Sometimes it never worked, sometimes it did work.
How would they check it?
Well, you'd have an officer come up and you'd have to hold your hand up in the air like that, and you'd have to you'd put your finger on it like that, and he would look down it to make sure that you cleaned it properly. And if you hadn't cleaned it, you're on yankers that night.
So that's cleaning it. How about using it though?
They'd take you on the firing range, and then they would show you how to use it. In other words, they'd show you how to let one shot off and then reload and do all that. But then they would show you how to rapid load, which you couldn't really. It was just the same as single load. You'd just pull the bolt back and then put it forward and then right aim. But when you had to do it the rapid, you'd have to do it as quick as you possibly can and still carry on firing. Whether you hit anything or not, that's a different thing. I never used to worry about that, but that's what they used to do to us.
They didn't teach you much about aiming them?
Not, the only time they ever teach you about aiming them is when they wanted to teach you, to show you whether you've, whether you've got, how can I put it, when they always used to show you how to fire a rifle the correct way. You'd be on a firing range and they would say up 2 foot over or 1 foot over, and they used to adjust your sights for you and do all that until they reckon that you were spot on. And then they would say, right, now your rifle should be spot on, so that when you come to the end of these 6 weeks, you would have to do a proper shootout to see how good you was.
And how good were you?
Average. I was only average all the way through. Really.
What do you think held you back, or what made someone a better shot? Or did you not know?
I didn't know, to be honest. No.
And what about bayonet?
They taught you how to put a bayonet on, and the only time you would use a bayonet would be if they told you to put your bayonet on, you'd have to run and dig it in, put your foot up and dig it out and all that old palaver.
Did they have the straw dummies then?
Yes, yeah, they did years ago, yeah.
We're still being taught to shout and yell.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. Didn't have to do that with us. We shouted whether we wanted to do or not.
But was it just that, or did they teach you what they used to call bayonet fencing? You know, bringing the butt through, that kind of stuff.
Oh no!
So it was just simple.
It was just simple, in and out, and then run straight on, and putting the bayonet on, taking the bayonet off, and making sure that it went back in your scabbard there. And everything was all right then.
And what about the Bren gun?
The Bren gun, they used to do it exactly the same, except instead of having a lot of Bren guns, they didn't. They had only two. And what they used to do, they used to put you in classrooms, and they used to thingy, because you know what the smallest screw on the right on Bren gun is, don't you?
Tell us.
You do.
Oh, yeah, tell us. No point me knowing, because I'll be dead as well. It's for the people in the future. Tell them about it.
It's two fleas at the bar, a bell and a bit. Well, that's what they used to say anyway. But no, what they used to do, they used to put your Bren gun down and they used to dismantle it. Well, the Bren gun, as you know, comes into more than one part. It crashes right down. Your gases, you had to learn your gases. Everything like that. And what the idea was, what I learned, the idea of that was how good you were in the classroom made you a Bren gun bloke. Believe it or not, it was just one of them things that happened. If you were good at it, then, because you always try to be as good as you possibly could. And again, I come average, so I was just an average as far as it was concerned.
Did they do all this business of doing everything blindfolded or in the dark and things like that?
They did on the Bren gun. I must agree on that. Yeah, on the Bren gun they did.
What about firing the Bren gun? What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah. When you went out, they used to have to do burst, used to have to do single shots, things like that. Now, again, that was to bring you up to see if you were one of the best in the what they were bringing through, to make you sure that you was a Bren gun carrier, a Bren gun.
I know what you mean.
Make sure that when you went out in the field, you went out with them, and that's the one you used to carry, like, you know.
So now that's a Bren gun. What about Sten gun?
Sten gun was practically the same. They would, because you know. A Bren gun, a Sten gun is only accurate for about 30 yards. It's not an accurate weapon at all. It's mainly for, a Sten gun is mainly for spraying. That was all it was for.
At close quarters.
At close quarters. Because if you got past it a certain amount, they didn't do any good. I mean, that's what we got told anyway. So.
Was it easy to control?
Yes, it was. It was pretty easy, yes.
Were you aware it would go off if you dropped it? You know, that safety was important with the Sten.
Yes, I can understand what you're saying there, but no, we didn't get told that idea. Wasn't told that at all, not to my knowledge, anyway.
Now, what about hand grenades?
Again, we were told they were dangerous. And when you pull, I mean, we only had, I only threw three hand grenades. And I was in a proper, like in a trench, and I had to throw it just over where the van is now, just over the top, as far as I could throw it, and then just get down. Used to pull a pin out, let the clip go, and then you'd count to three, one, two, three, and then you'd lob it. Now, what happened is, if that went over three, I don't know. Used to count one, two, three.
They make you nervous? They make you
Yes,
nervous?
in respect, well, the only thing you was frightened of was that whether it was going to go off, whether you know when you pulled the pin out. I mean, it pull a pin out, everything was all right because it was safe, wasn't it? And as soon as you let go the spring, automatically you're in trouble now. Because you had to get rid of it. There was a few. We did have a few naughty moments, as far as that's concerned, where blokes had just lobbed them, and if they hadn't been down underneath in this trench, they would have copped it.
And have you learned to fuse them as well?
Yes. Yeah. We learned how to fuse them. Yeah. How to put in the right view, but mind you, the fuses were told you were told what the fuses were, if they were 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minute, or whatever you like to, whatever you had to put in.
Seconds, I think. I
That's
think
it.
it's three.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But you know what I mean. It's it was that you didn't screw it all together and then say, right, that's going to be 1 second. When you screwed it together, you was told. These are the ones you use out of this pile or that pile or the other pile.
Now, what about the 2-inch mortar? Were you introduced to that, or the
I
threads?
was, I see it go off, but I never done it. We
Hit
know.
or any kind of anti-tank weapon?
Again, it was shown to you that you don't stand at the back of it. No, but it's true. I mean, they do learn you these type of things, you know. What you don't do.
Was this the pier, the spring pad thing, or was it a rocket one?
The rocket launcher one, yeah, the rocket launcher one.
Now, any other weapons you're introduced to?
The landmine.
What would you do with them?
If you stood on one and it didn't go off, you just stood there. And I don't know how they figured that out, but whether it done you any good or not, I don't know. But
Did they teach you how to lift mines, you know, that kind
oh
of thing?
no, nothing like that at all. No. No, even when you was in when you went into a building, and it was a derelict sort of a building, it never turned around and said, "You will do. You will make sure that everything's all right." They'd never done that at all.
Now, what about tactical training? Did you get any of that? Well, you know, advancing, defending, that kind
Oh
of
yeah, we had all that.
Tell me about that then. What sort of things you do with that?
Well, as I said to you, what we used to do, we'd be called out of a night. You know, you'd think everything was all right, and you're all ready to go to bed. Instead of that, you'd be out on the run, and you'd be told that you're attacking a particular person, or they would be attacking you. So you'd get into a field, if you like, and you'd all get in your trenches, and then what you'd have to do is wait for somebody to come along and make a mistake, that kind of a thing. And then, of course, you would react from then onwards.
How realistic do you think this tactical training was, as far as you were concerned?
Well, everything was realistic for us, wouldn't it? Because, I mean, we'd never done it before, really, if you look at it the correct way. We'd never done it before. So everything they taught us was to help us, sort of thing.
Now, any other training you remember in that 6 weeks?
Not
Educa
really.
any education training?
At the beginning, they did put you into a classroom, and they did give you a little booklet, and they did say to you, answer as many questions as you can, and that would recollect all the way through the army. But I never thingied.
So that was an education test.
Yeah, it's more of an educated test than it was anything else.
Now, so in the evening, tell me about preparing for kit inspections. And I'm thinking of your boots and things like
Oh.
that. How did you actually do it?
Well, you go in, and the first thing you would do is to blank all your kit.
Now, people don't know what Blanco is now.
Right, well, what it is, we used to have to use a brush, and instead of it being whitening, it used to be a Blanco. And you used to have to do all your kit with it, and then you'd let it dry off, and then when it was dry, you'd clean all the brass knobs on it, the head, and it did have a few. You know that. And then what you would do then is to do your belt, make sure that your belt was perfect in every respect. And then once you've done that, then you'd go over onto your boots and you'd spit and polish them. But
Now,
first
tell
of
me
all,
about the boots. How do you get them? Because when you get them, they're not
no,
right, are they?
when you first get them, they're all lumpy and bumpy and God knows what. And the only way you can get rid of them is that you put in the tin of polish, you put in the lid, you put a little flame. And from that, you'd heat up the end of a spoon. And then what you would do, you would spoon all the pieces out. And don't forget, I had an unfortunate pair because I had all the pimples all the way around the boots. So I had to like do all mine all the way through. And you know what happened?
Now tell them because they haven't heard on the tape.
Well, when I was ready to go, I finished and I all ready to go out on parade, and I got all ready. I got all my gaiters on, got everything on, and we went outside and we had to stand in on parade, and then we had to turn right. And as we turned right, I felt something happen to my feet, and I didn't realise it. But I went to march off, and I was walking with the soles on my shoes. I'd taken one of my soles completely off through, but well, I burnt it, most probably burnt them. And they never said a word. They let me march all the way through on the passing out parade. And we went all the way through and everything like that, and it was all done. And then the sergeant knew, because he'd come up and nicked me afterwards. He said, you'll be on Jenkins the next day, and I was.
What about spit and polish? What was spit and polish? Can you explain that?
Well, spit and polish is you put a load of polish on your boot with a cloth on the end of your finger. And then what you do, you've got that going, and then what you do, you spit on it. You spit on your boot. And then you'd rub it in, and rub it in, and rub it in, until it went to a haze. It went hazy. And then as soon as it went hazy, you'd left it and put the next, and then picked up the next one and done the next one. Then when that went hazy, you drop that down and then you pick up the next one. And when you think you've done enough, then what you'd do, you'd wait until all dry and then you'd pick up and write in yellow duster, because it had to be a yellow duster, because if it wasn't, and as you polished it, as long as nothing come off, then it was dry. But if it's something was to come off, then you'd leave it for a little while until you, and then it would be highly polished. And it was highly polished, I promise you.